It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can go to hashtag Giants Chat. Give us your questions and comments. We'll take them. We'll talk some Giants football, talk some NFL offseason, talk some NFL draft, free agency, you name it. We got it right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. And one other thing I want to touch on. I believe right after the show's over, either 10:30, 11, something like that, we're going to be announcing the winner of our Giants Draft Class Challenge. Excuse me. This is something we've been running for the past 4 weeks, I guess, three and a half, give or take. And we got to our finals, and it was the 1981 draft class against the 1984 draft class. Now, I was impressed, first of all, and I'll give the fans credit first. Because you know what I'm going to do after that? You picked two classes from the 80s. You weren't biased towards the classes in the 2000s based on what the current teams are, and I appreciate that. Great job by the fans. However, the 84 draft class also, great selection. I thought it was one of the top draft classes. I believe I had that as my one or two seed when I ranked them 1 through 16 when we started this thing. I thought 83 could have gotten in the mix too, but they got knocked off, I believe, in the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe they were in the Sweet Six, the Elite Eight, they got knocked out, I believe. Anyway, point being, you did a good job with 84, you did a good job with the 80s in general. But the 1981 draft class, and I get it's Lawrence Taylor, I get that, but the Giants had the number two pick in the draft that year, and for that to get into the finals of Carl Banks, frankly, I thought it was a little unfair. I didn't think it had the depth, even with Bill Yard and Byron Hunt. To get there, I didn't think it was that good of a class. And you'll see when we make our announcement in a couple of hours that I'm not going to spoil anything here, but the competition was very close, closer than I think it should have been. And you'll see the winner announced on Giants.com between 10:30 and 11. I think 84 was very deserving of that win. We'll see who actually won in about a half an hour. 201-939-4513. I'll get into the draft and free agency and all that stuff, but you've heard me talk about it a billion times already this year, so I'm going to get right to your calls. Let's see what you guys have to say about it and start out with Joe in New York. Joe, what's going on, pal?
How you doing?
Ooh, what's up, Joe?
Oh, nothing. I just got home from work.
Nice.
I work overnights. I had a quick question about the contract situation with Victor Cruz.
Sure.
And I get it with, you know, they want to, you know, keep Nicks as a true number one receiver, and they want to give him a long-term deal, and it's really hard to do, you know, give Cruz. And I personally think Cruz wants too much money. I don't foresee the Giants giving him reportedly $10 or $11 million per season. Because I read another article, and I agree with it, as far as he should, you know, take a thing from Steve Smith's little contract controversy back in 2010, where he was offered 5 years for $35 million. He should have taken it, but he didn't.
Right.
But, you know, as far as it, where is it? Is like it a stalemate?
Yeah, right now, basically, both sides are looking at each other, and neither one is blinking. And frankly, I don't think the Giants are going to blink. And the reason the Giants don't have to blink, let's say that report is correct, and the Giants have about a four-year, $30 million contract, give or take, on the table of Victor Cruz with about $20 million of that guaranteed. Let's assume that report is correct. I don't know that it is, but let's assume that it is correct, all right? And they have a four-year, $30 million contract offer on the table for Cruz today. Now, here's what the Giants can do. Worst comes to worst, if they can't get Victor Cruz to agree to their contract, you know what they do? One, Cruz plays under the tender this year. That's give or take $3 million, $2.9 million, all right? Next year and the year after that, the Giants can franchise Victor Cruz, which should put him in at about, give or take, $10 million for each of those two seasons. And keep in mind, Victor Cruz can't stop this. The Giants control his rights. He doesn't have a choice here. So, in effect, the Giants have Victor Cruz right now under a three-year, $23 million contract that he can't get out of unless he wants to hold out. So the Giants have absolutely no motivation right now, Joe, to move off of their position. It's Victor Cruz is the guy that's going to have to make a move if someone's going to blink here. And I think once we get to April 19th, which is the day other teams can't offer Victor money as a restricted free agent, that's when he becomes the Giants' property no matter what. No other team can sign him after April 19th. That's when you might see Victor Cruz blink and make a move towards the Giants.
Now, another thing I've been reading is, like, they can also drop the tender so he doesn't have to earn the 2.89 or $2.9 million, what you said. He can only earn, or the Giants can change it to, like, $559,000.
Honestly, I don't think the Giants would do that only because I feel that'll probably create some level of animosity with Cruz. And I believe the Giants and still want Victor to be part of this team and be part of this organization for a long time. So I don't think that's something the Giants would do. However, that possibility and that option, which the team has, might be more motivation for Victor to sign that long-term deal.
Now, I got one more kind of quick.
Yeah.
I was about to think his contract is up next season.
Correct.
He's got to be placed through this year. And I was thinking, you know, they also got the tags. But, I mean, now it would be smarter to kind of, because I think Cruz is more bang for your buck because of how explosive of a player he is. But when Nix is healthy, I think he's just equally as explosive, just on the outside, not so much in the slot. Now, as far as Nix, are they talking about a long-term deal or a short-term deal right now with him?
Well, you know what? I think the Giants would like to wrap Nix up long-term, but I think his injuries last year make that a problem. Because right now, from Nix's perspective, if he signs a contract this year, he's probably going to sign a contract for below what his market value is if he has a healthy season for 16 games and he has his, you know, 85 catches for 1,200 yards. He's not going to get that type of money coming off an injury-plagued season. And from the Giants' perspective, maybe they want to see whether or not he can come back from a season where he's been plagued by leg injuries. Look, Nix has been banged up since he's been here. Maybe the Giants want another season to come and go to see whether or not he is going to get healthy. Because do you want to give a wide receiver that has perpetual leg injuries a long-term deal? I'm not sure about that.
I've seen that gone sour before.
Right.
Look at Mario Williams with the bill. I'm not saying he didn't earn the money, but $100 million contract with $50 million guaranteed with Mario Williams, and he didn't perform as one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So I see your point.
Appreciate the call, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
Take it easy, man. Get some sleep. Joe coming off that overnight work thing. That's got to be rough. I used to work those over at FAM back in the day. When you get home at 7:30, everybody else is getting up. The commute's not bad. You fly. No one's driving around. You have the streets all to yourself, which is pretty cool, but the rest is pretty crappy. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New York. Mike, what's up?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
All right, how you doing, man? I was just calling to weigh in on the draft this
year.
Yeah,
what do you got?
I don't know. As far as where I'd like to go, I mean, I think it's time. First round, I don't know if they want to move up or what, but I think it's time to take a. I think it's time to take a tackle, man. We got to solidify that line. Eli needs to stay healthy. We got to protect our franchise quarterback, and we also got to give the running game a shot. And I don't think our problem has been the running back. Specifically, I think our problem has been more of the inability to open holes for them to run through. They haven't forgot how to run the ball. I mean, I'm pretty sure they got that covered. I just think they don't have clear lanes and good space to run the ball with. I think that's why we struggle, and as a result, I think that's why the passing game struggles sometimes because they can't. Eli's at his best when he works off the play action and stuff like that, and it's hard to sell it when you don't have a good running game going established.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with everything you said about the offense and your analysis. You want to get the running game going. You got to protect your franchise. That being said, the way this draft is in terms of depth, people are saying from the 15th pick to the 40th pick, there really isn't a whole lot of difference in the players here. So I don't think the Giants will trade a second or third round pick, since it's so valuable this year, to move up in the first round. So I get
that would be awesome. I would like to take Lane Johnson if they could do that. That would be awesome.
Well, I don't think they're going to want to give up that second-round pick to get one of those top three tackles, whether it's Jokel, Fisher, or Lane Johnson. Now, there's a possibility, albeit a very slight one, that one of those top two guards could fall to the Giants there. Now, I don't think one will get past the Cowboys at 18, but you have a chance. You have a chance at Warmack. You have a chance at Cooper. But again, I don't think that's going to happen either. I think if you want to pick an offensive lineman near the Giants, the guy you target is Big Fluker, DJ Fluker, out of Alabama. He's a right tackle. You know, you already have Will Beattie on the left side for five more years. You signed him to a long-term deal. He's signed, sealed, and delivered there. So you put Fluker on the right side, which is a natural position. He's about 6'5", 340 pounds. He can anchor that side of the line. And like you mentioned, his strength, run blocking. The guy is a load.
Yeah.
He can help your running game on that side of the line.
Yeah, I agree. Trading the pick is kind of I'm iffy about that too as well, because this draft class in particular, it is rather deep with the linemen. So
yep.
I mean, if they could take a chance and pass, maybe they can pick up Menelik Watson or Terron Armstead from Division II or something like that later on, and target maybe something else like a corner like Trufan or somebody like that in the first round. I would really like for them to get Kazeem Green out of Rutgers, but I know he's not a first-round range type of guy. But, I mean, if we do keep that second-round pick, I would like to see them come back and grab Green. I love his motor, man. He's got great instinct. I just think he'd fit really well into that linebacking core, and I just think now we need something like that. But I don't want to go linebacker in the first round because, in my opinion, the class is kind of weak with inside linebackers, and that's what we really need. So I don't know, man. I just like Kazeem Green's game. I think he's fitting really good. He's a local kid. I think, man, that would be an awesome second-round pick for us. He would really give us a boost in the linebacking core, I think.
Well, Mike, look, I think you're going to have a couple inside linebackers that go in the first round, maybe even three with Ogletree, with Teo, and with the kid Minter out of LSU. So I think you could have three
inside
linebackers. So I think you could have three guys go in the first round. And to your point, if you want to go like a Desmond Trufant at corner, or maybe even go for a defensive end like the Warner kid out of Florida State if he's still there in the first round, I think with that second-round pick, you will be able to get a starting caliber lineman. Maybe he won't start in week one, but I think he could start in week five or six. Maybe it's the Warford kid out of Kentucky or the center out of Wisconsin who has played guard before. So I think you can find I think you can find an offensive lineman with that second-round pick that can start this year.
Frederick?
Yes, exactly.
I just would like to I just really would like to solidify that line, man, because I think our offense is the way we execute and the comfortability with Eli and his receivers, I think we're pretty much unstoppable if we can keep a rhythm going and if we can keep our balance going. And it's just hard to do that when you don't have the blocking up front or you don't have time to throw the ball. And then if Eli ever got hurt, I mean, it's a wrap. We might as well mail in the season. I mean, that would pretty much cancel everything. So
Mike, I hear you.
We would like to finally get that problem solved. That would be awesome.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike.
I think it's the perfect draft to do it because they're so deep.
Nah, Mike, I agree. Thanks for the call, pal.
No problem, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Good stuff out of Mike, 201-939-4513. A lot of people psyched to talk some draft this morning. We like it. Let's go to Bob up in Elmira, New York. We have a radio affiliate up in Elmira. Bob, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How are you?
Doing great, Bob. What's up?
Well, I'd like to tag on to a little bit of that offensive line talk.
Please.
Coming up on the draft, you hear a lot of that talk about trying to get that big lineman. But, you know, I was kind of curious in regards to our past drafts. You know, we got these guys, Mosley and McCants and Gooden and Capers. And now I see on the roster we got a couple of monsters that, you know, are approaching 400 pounds. I mean, what do we have in these guys? I mean, you know, we're putting all this emphasis on this year's draft to try to help the line situation, but what have we got out of last year's draft? I guess that's my question.
No, you know what? And I think it's a very good question, because the way the Giants, and Jerry Reese specifically, likes to work on his offensive line is to take guys in the middle rounds or late rounds and develop them for a couple of seasons. That being said, I don't believe your two late round guys last year, McCants and Mosley, are going to be ready this season. I think they're on the similar path to James Brewer, where it's going to take two seasons of NFL season. Remember, Mosley was hurt all year last year, too. So that's something else. I think it's going to take 2 years for those guys to be ready to play. However, this season, I think you're going to have an opportunity for James Brewer to earn that starting right tackle spot, and maybe even compete at guard if they want to go in that direction. And I think you'll see Selvish Capers maybe, you know, have a chance to compete. You'll have Jim Cordle, who was brought back. He'll have a chance, who reportedly was brought back. He'll have a chance to compete as well. So I think you'll see some of these guys move along slowly, but I believe the guys from last year aren't going to be ready. But the guys from 2 years ago and 3 years ago, this is their opportunity now to challenge some of those veterans that might win the offensive line spot, but they'll be given an opportunity.
So I see it as kind of a win-win situation, right? We really got the horses back there. It's just an issue of their coming to their time.
Well, you hope you have the horses back there. You can train these guys and get them ready to play. Whether or not they're actually going to be ready to play, that's not something you're going to know. You know, probably not even until training camp, probably not until your first couple preseason games when they get up against some live competition.
Right, but you named a couple of these big college guys that you know, and we've seen guys come from college ranks and step right in and take the spot, even at left tackle. We don't have anybody of that caliber or quality that we've already drafted.
Well, I mean, Will Beatty signed for 5 years at 30, whatever it is, $5, $8, $9 million at the left side. He's going to be there for the next five seasons, barring any sort of injury. He was a draft pick of the Giants in the second round. So he's certainly stepped in. Kevin Boots, a guy they brought in from the Raiders, he stepped up. David Deal was a draft pick. He's actually the longest tenured Giant now.
Well, I guess what I'm asking, John, is, well, just say hypothetically you drafted Fluker.
Okay.
Do you think he could actually come right in and step in and take that right tackle spot this year?
I think he would have the opportunity to do it. Whether or not he would start right away, he'd have to prove that to the coaching staff. But do I think he has the physical and mental capabilities to be a starter this year if the Giants selected DJ Fluker? My answer is yes, I believe he does.
All righty. Thanks, John. Appreciate the show.
Anytime, Bob. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. And that's the beauty of this draft, especially on the offensive and defensive line. You have guys, I think, that can come in and have the physical preparedness to start right away. They're there. They're NFL bodies. And they can be a factor in the league this year. 201-939-4513. Montrell's down in Miami. Montrell, what's going on, man?
How you doing, John?
Doing well, Montrell. What's up?
I have a quick question about Rolando McClain.
Yeah.
Do you think he will be a player that Giants would be interested in bringing in, trying out now? I remember he was high on Giants draft board a few years ago. And I know he's been having off-the-field issues, but
yeah.
I think if you bring this kid in somewhere with structure, I think he probably can be a steal. I mean, you bring him in on a one-year prove-it deal and let him come in and compete.
Yeah,
the
problem you have with McClain, and do I think he's still as good NFL years ahead of him? Yes. Do I think he can figure things out off the field and you know, get his life right? I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's not. However, McClain, for the most part, is a two-down linebacker. He's a guy that's good at stopping the run. He's good around the line of scrimmage, but he struggles in pass coverage. So I think the Giants already brought in a guy that does that in Dan Connor. He's a guy that's good around the line, not the fastest guy in coverage, but he's a good first and second-round middle linebacker. And quite frankly, I don't think McClain provides that much of an upgrade over a guy like Connor. Now, if you're talking about a veteran minimums deal, where he's just going to come in and compete, I suppose it's possible if the Giants believe he's put his off-the-field problems behind him. But I think it's a little repetitious. I think McClain will do a very similar to this team what Dan Connor will do for this team this year.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call, Montrell. Thanks a lot, man. 201-939-4513. I know Giant fans were upset they didn't get McClain a couple years ago. And by the way, that's actually worked out pretty well, just FYI. You know, McClain's getting in trouble out there in Oakland. Imagine what would be happening if he was in New York City. that's probably wouldn't go too well for Mr. McClain. So, is it an option? Is it a possibility? Yeah, I guess. But I wouldn't get all excited about bringing in, you know, Rolando McClain here. Eh. Feels so good the Raiders wouldn't have cut him, despite the off-the-field stuff. So, Dan Connor is just as good of a player with all the nonsense you have to deal with. Not there. So, 201-939-4513. Vito is in the line. Vito, what's going on?
And McClain, wasn't that the year the Giants drafted JPP?
McClain was the year they drafted Prince Amukamara, if I recall. I believe that was – oh, no, you're right. McClain was 3 years ago. That was the JPP draft. You are correct. I believe the Raiders took McClain at 8, and the Giants took JPP at 12, if I remember properly.
Yeah, so it worked out good there.
Yeah, I would say.
Well, it's funny with your draft. Everyone says Jerry Reese is such a good drafter. But the only one in the, you know, in the top, you know, these final four, or he only had one out of the 10 or so drafts. And that was in his first year, 2007. So his last few drafts, the people who put this draft thing together, they didn't think too much of him.
No, well, honestly, I was the one that did most of the rankings, and I didn't think it was fair to put draft classes where guys have only had 1 or 2 years in the league against players that you've already seen a fair part of their career. And I thought about putting the 2008 draft in there, but the problem with that 2008 draft class is that the injuries just killed it. I mean, Terrell Thomas with the knee, Kenny Phillips with the knee, Mario Manningham left in free agency, now he has a knee. If those guys stay healthy and they're still with the and they're still with the Giants, I think that 2008 draft class might even be better than the 2007 draft class. And throw in the Steve Smith knee injury too, by the way. That's something else that really derailed one of Jerry Reese's draft classes.
Yeah. The best draft class, I think, was 1986 when you had Pepper Johnson, you had Collins, you had Howard.
Yeah, 86. 86 was extremely deep, and I was surprised that got knocked out so early in the process.
And 81 is probably going to win only because of Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I cannot.
That's going to be hard, that's for sure.
Yeah, I cannot confirm or deny whether or not 81 will come up on top, but I agree with you. I don't believe it's fair to just give a draft class that sort of credit because of one pick. Because the way the draft works, and Vito, you know this, it builds the foundation of your team. So when you draft 7 or 8 guys, or even back in 84, you're drafting 10 guys in a draft class. You want to get 3, 4, 5 players that can either start or be significant pieces for you. And you got that in the 84 draft class. You had 5 guys that were big factors in 2 Super Bowls. 81, I know it's LT, but it was a 2nd overall pick. You should get a great player there. And you really didn't get a whole lot of help beyond that. So I think 84 was the far superior draft class, in my opinion.
Just imagine if the first team drafted Taylor, we would have been stuck with Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. you would have gotten, you might have picked that the running back that the...
George Rodgers, exactly, they would have picked.
Exactly, that the Saints, and he was a really good running back. He just happened to have a lot of injury problems when he got to the NFL.
Also, with this salary structure for Victor Cruz, if his average, the top 10 wideouts, do they separate wideouts and slot receivers, or is it wideouts altogether?
No, it's wide receivers altogether. They're considered one category. So I would imagine the average of the top 10 wide receivers would probably put Victor Cruz somewhere around 10, maybe 9.5, something like that.
But linebackers, though, is it all linebackers, or do they separate middle and outside linebackers?
It is as far as I understand it, it is all linebackers. So an Anthony Spencer, for example, this year was averaged out with the top 10 linebackers. It wasn't just outside linebackers. It was all linebackers.
I think he'll sign that 4-year, $30 million contract because you made a good point in regards to he's going to be guaranteed probably 3 years, $23 million. When you can get 4 years at $30 million, $30 million is a lot better than 3 or 20. Because you could get hurt too, you know. So with the 4-30, you're protected.
Right. That's the thing. If he gets hurt this year or next year, the Giants obviously aren't going to use their franchise tag on him.
Right.
And then
right,
all of a sudden, he has no guaranteed money coming his way. The safe thing for Cruz to do is to, once you get past his April 19th date, is to sign that 4-year, $30 million contract. Be very happy with your $20 million guaranteed, and know even if you get hurt, you're still getting a check, which is always a nice thing.
one thing everybody likes about Cruz, he could be a wideout. He could be on the outside. He's made some tremendous catches on the end.
Yeah, not just over the middle.
Yeah,
Vito, I agree with you. And thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. People that classify Victor Cruz as simply a slot receiver, it's not fair. The guy does work outside and does a significant amount of damage outside. You know, I've heard some people say, oh, I think Julian Edelman can give you the same numbers that Victor Cruz can. Really? He was playing with Tom Brady, by the way. And he didn't play with Tom Brady for an entire year when Wes Welker was hurt. Did he put up Victor Cruz numbers? No. He did not. So let's not downplay Victor Cruz here. The guy turns 8-yard catches into 90-yard touchdowns. Did you see what he did to Carlos Rogers in the NFC Championship game a year ago? Do you think Julian Edelman's doing that to Carlos Rogers in the slot? No, he's not. So let's not make Victor Cruz out to be, you know, this I can replace him with anybody type of guy. Is he Calvin Johnson? No. But that's fine. He doesn't have to be. But is he significantly better than Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola? Hell yeah. He is. And that's why the Giants, if the reports are correct, are offering him more than what those guys got in free agency, rightfully so. For the Giants' position, in terms of him being a restricted free agent and their ability to franchise him, the Giants made a very fair and smart offer. And now it's up to Victor Cruz to decide whether or not he wants to roll the dice and see what happens or sign the contract. Two more calls before we say goodbye. 201-939-4513. Charlie's in Florida. Charlie, what's up?
That's what I was asking about with Victor Cruz, about whether the Giants are going to get him signed. Because if they lose him, they ought to get their head examined.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Charlie, and I made this point earlier in the show. They control Victor Cruz for 3 more years. Even if they don't sign him to this long-term contract, they have him under the first-round tender this year. They can franchise him for 2 years after that. So if the Giants don't want Victor Cruz to leave, guess what? He's not going anywhere. And they're going to be paying him for those 3 years about $23 million, which isn't going to be much different than what they would have to pay him if they sign him to that 4-year contract. Again, if the reports are accurate, that's what the offer is. So the Giant fans shouldn't have any worry about Victor Cruz being here. The Giants control his rights for 3 more seasons. And if the Giants don't want him to leave, which they don't, he's not going anywhere.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good to hear, because that's a big help, having Victor Cruz out there. And I agree with you. I was listening to you talk about, I think, Edelman. I mean, there's Amendola that went to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amendola don't even hold a candle to Victor Cruz.
I mean, and Amendola can't stay healthy. He's hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Victor Cruz gets hit, and he gets back up. You know, and if people want to compare him to Calvin Johnson, well, he's almost half his size.
Well, yeah.
And that's kind of unfair, don't you think? You know, I mean, you can't compare him to somebody who's bigger, taller. That's kind of unfair to him.
Hey, look, but here's how I look at it. Victor Cruz is asking for about, if reports are correct, between $10 and $11 million. At least that's what he was asking for a couple months ago when he was with his old agent. Now, what apparently, you know, he's looking for now, I don't have the answer to that question. However, look at some of the numbers these wide receivers got. Do you think Victor Cruz is as good as Dwayne Bowe? I do. Dwayne Bowe got around $9 million. Marcus Colston, do you think Cruz is better than him? I do.
Yep.
He got around $9 million. Greg Jennings, do you think Victor Cruz is better than him?
Yep.
I do, too. He got around $9, $10 million. So can you blame Victor Cruz for asking for that? Certainly not. That's the class of wide receiver that he's in. But here's the difference. All of those players, unrestricted free agents. Victor Cruz, restricted free agent. So that makes his ability to demand that type of money much more limited, which is why he's in the position he's in. The Giants are in the position that they are in.
Yeah, well, if they were smart, I mean, after what he did for them, especially maybe not so much last year, but the year before when they went to the Super Bowl, I mean, the things he did, if he wasn't on that field, I don't think they would have made it. I really don't.
Oh, no.
I mean,
they wouldn't have.
He was a big reason.
Well, I mean, think about it. If it wasn't for his 99-yard, 98-yard, whatever it was, catch and run against the Jets in the regular season, the Giants might not even make the playoffs in 2011, let alone win the Super Bowl.
Yep. So, they should pay him and just be happy they have him. Because he's durable. Not just that he's good, he's durable.
Charlie, appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks, buddy. 201-939-4513. Our final call of the show, and I haven't even looked at Twitter yet. I got to see who's on our Twitter pages here, tweeting away. Let's go to Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, Johnny. If I could shoot 2 points at you, I know you're kind of sweating out the 81 Giants versus the 84.
I am.
And I understand where and I know where you're coming from, but I think some of it has to do with there's an emotional aspect of Lawrence Taylor in 81. Something I don't think we talked about is before Taylor was drafted, what was there? The late 60s, I remember my grandfather talking about the late 60s and all through the 70s was a disaster for the Giants, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is correct.
So I think that there's an emotional aspect of this, the best player ever coming out, and it affected everyone, I think, through his career, affected especially hardcore Giants fans, and I think that there's an emotion of everybody picking the 81 over, which we all get. The depth of the 84 is huge. And then the other point was, I know it's a long ways away, but the post-reporting Giants eyeing Jacobs, wanted to get your viewpoint. Which I think would be huge if he'd come back to minimum. I know he's got to come in. He's got to make the 53-man roster, all that. But I just want to get your insight.
I'm not sure how much he has left. I mean, look, he didn't play all year last year. I don't know what Brandon Jacobs has left in the tank. If that's a guy you want to bring in to compete as a backup and a veteran on this roster, I guess I'd be okay with it the same way I'd be okay with doing the same thing with Bradshaw. But I'm not sure how much Brandon Jacobs has left in the tank. As for the draft class, Dave, I get what you're saying. Then why didn't Phil Simms get out of the first round? What, Phil Simms wasn't important enough as the first round pick in 79? Where's the Phil Simms draft class then? I wanted some consistency, Dave.
I know. Maybe 79 was – Simms was great. I don't know. Maybe that's a little too much for some of your listeners. Maybe it's a little way back. I know that's a little back for me, but
Carl Banks, William Roberts, Jeff Hostetler. Who else was in that class? Terry Kennard, right? No, he was in the 83. I'm going to look it up. Hold on a second, because now I'm getting upset. And by the way, the 2010 draft, JPP was picked 15. Rolando McClain was picked 8. But let me take a look here. Hold on. Because I want to make sure I get this list right. So Gary Reasons was in that draft class as well. Here we go. 1984
yep.
Giants draft. Let's see. What do we got here? No, that's the season.
William Roberts, Hostetler, Gary Reasons.
Lionel Manuel, I believe, was in that draft class. And I'm forgetting.
Lionel Manuel.
And I'm forgetting one person here. If I can find the draft page. Draft by team. Here we go. Let's see. New York Giants. Scrolling back. 1984. Carl Banks, William Roberts, Jeff Hostetler, who helped you win a Super Bowl, by the way, Gary Reasons, Lionel Emanuel, and then, by the way, in the supplemental draft that year, Gary Zimmerman,
right,
who ended up being a Hall of Fame tackle for the Denver Broncos. How is that not better than just LT, Billiard, and Byron Hunt? This is Carl Banks we're talking about. He was a player of the decade in the 80s. Hostetler won you a Super Bowl. Come on!
I know. I know. You don't hurt yourself. I know you're getting. I understand, but I think this is just Giants are paying homage to the greatest player we've ever had, and maybe just this one time. Just this one time. If we do this again next year or later in the year, maybe 84, 83 might come up, but maybe people are just saying, "Hey, we thank you, LT. We thank you." Maybe that's all it is. Maybe in their heart they love 84, but you know.
All right, Dave.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I
love you, bro. Talk to you later.
It, man. Thank you. And Dave's trying to be logical with me. And you can guess who won. You can guess who won. Everybody, thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll have the official announcement of who won our draft class challenge in just a bit. Make sure you go to Giants.com to check it out. I'm not pleased. Everybody, we'll see you next time on Giants.com tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. We'll try to get someone on about the draft, and we'll have some fun. Have a good one.